Okay. Well, we're, for those of you who are visiting today, you're sort of in the middle of a series of things that we're doing. Basically, we're producing a manual to help people engage in the heavenly realms, but also engage with the supernatural realm of God around our lives. And so we're at base camp on this journey, just preparing our spirits. And this journey is basically, we're going to follow a map on this journey, so it's not just going here, there, and everywhere. And we're going to discover how to engage the spiritual realms, how those realms are within us and around us and in the heaven. And there's two pathways we're going to follow. The pathway of relationship, which leads to deeper intimacy with God, flowing from the inside out because God's within us, from heaven, engaged through the gateways of our spirit, soul, and body to the world around us so that we can see the kingdom of God manifest in our lives and through us. And then the pathway of responsibility, really, which leads to kingdom rulership, because God commissioned Adam and Eve to have dominion, therefore to bring heaven to earth and manifest what it is in heaven on earth, as Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that really flows from the outside in. We're here, but we step into the realms of heaven. We can present ourselves in the heavenly tabernacle there as living sacrifices and learn how to be sons. And just like Jesus was a co-heir, we're co-heirs with him, as he was with the Father, so we bring his rule onto the earth. And so there's this pathway of relationship is where we're going to begin, and we're starting at base camp. And these experiences, and there's four sort of different topics here that we're looking at. We've looked at praying in tongues as a foundational experience to build our spirit. And we're now looking at meditation and how to meditate in the Word of God, how to discern God's thoughts and how to have a conversation with him in our daily lives. These have all been personal encounters for me in my own personal walk with God to be able to see in the realm of the Spirit and to be able to operate in the realm of the Spirit. And for me, these took many years of practice and hard work and pushing through to learn how to do these things. But once a doorway has been open, people can follow much quicker. And so it won't take years if we learn how to put these things in practice in our own lives. So last week we looked at being still and in engaging God in meditating in the Word of God. The Word of God becomes living and active, and the Word of God then speaks to us, and the Holy Spirit applies the Word of God to us as thoughts. That's what we looked at last week. Today we're going to look at hearing God's voice and then journaling a little bit. Last week we looked at how the mind works. Now, if you weren't here, that looks like a pretty complicated diagram. It really isn't, but I can't go through it again, I'm afraid. But basically, our mind works and stores information on the basis of repetition and value. So if we value things, then our mind stores them because we repeat them, and they get stored in our hearts, and then our hearts then release them. So move on from there. Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And so this is the process for all of us, essentially training. Now, we all like playing the game. Training is what prepares you to play the game. And if you don't train, then usually, even though you might be really, really skillful at something, actually the best people are skillful and they train. And so we need to practice. And what do we practice? We practice training our senses to be able to discern. And so mature people can discern, therefore they can see in different spiritual realms. They can discern good, they can discern evil, they can discern things because they've trained their senses to see and to feel and to hear and to engage. Because our senses, just like our five physical senses, our spirit and our soul has senses that we need to learn how to engage. And so by practicing, we can do that. Psalm 46:10, let be and be still and know that I'm God. We can't do this in our own strength or by self-will or effort. We have to just engage God and be still and learn how to cease striving so that we can know God. And when I'm talking about know God, I'm not talking about knowing about him. I'm talking about knowing him personally in a face-to-face encounter like Moses had, like Abraham had, like those Old Testaments had, but also like the disciples had with Jesus. They had a face-to-face relationship with him. Jesus has made that available to us today as well. But we need to learn how to know God in personal encounter. The Hebrew word for know means by personal experience, not by intellectual knowledge. And the Western world has taught us to know things by knowledge and intellect rather than by encounter. And a lot of church-type meetings are about intellectual information rather than revelatory understanding through encounter. And we're in a process of transitioning from that way of doing things. As I said before, I will long for the day when I don't have to sit here doing this, that we'll all just engage and step into heaven and get our assignments for every Sunday and go off and do things. And like last week, someone did. Went off in the spirit to Russia and ministered in the spirit in Russia. And you think, wow, that's a bit odd. Well, that's what God can do when we make ourselves available. We're not limited by time and space in the realm of the kingdom. And so God can use us to relocate us all over the world and in different places. Now, Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait on the Lord shall change, renew their strength and power. And so in this waiting, being still, it changes us. Because who we look at, we become like. If we spend most of our time looking at the problems tend to get bigger. If you keep looking at the solution, the problems are seen from the perspective of that solution. And so they seem smaller. So it's important that we listen actively in this process with God. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living, active and powerful. So when we meditate it in 3D, in 2D if you like, we're meditating in that written word, it can become a 3D experience where we can step into it and encounter it. And the picture really does paint 1,000 words. Because what God gives you in terms of a verse, his spirit can unfold and unfurl it into so much more revelation when we experience it and encounter it. And on this journey, you know, I encourage people to write down what they experience. What God says, the visions, the encounters they have, write them down. That will enable them to be reviewed. And that means you can meditate around the experience and then revisit the experience because it comes a doorway of entrance into more experiences with God. Now, a lot of people say, well, oh, you're all talking about experience. Well, if we haven't got experience, what have we got? Theory. God does not want our relationship to him to be theoretical. He wants it to be practical and experiential. Just like when he walked with Abraham and Moses, just like Jesus, he wants us to have that today. Now, some experiences of heaven and some of the experiences of the things we encounter today are not in the Word of God, in the written Word of God. They're obviously contained within the physical Word of God, Jesus. But there are greater works than Jesus did. And even actually it says in John, if all the things Jesus did were recorded, it would fill all the books of the world and all the libraries of the world. Because Jesus did an awful lot of things before he ever came here. And he's doing things now. And we're called to do the greater works as well. So we need to realize that. And the reality is there are many things we use every day that are not in the Bible. Like this laptop and everything else we have in technology. It's not wrong. So there are many things that aren't in the Bible specifically that we encounter on this journey. But the key is we use the Word of God as a plumb line for those experiences. And we plumb that to the principles of God and the nature and character of God that are revealed in the Word of God. Then that keeps us on track. The Word of God then is not our end point. It's our beginning starting point into a journey and an exciting adventure of experiencing God. I mean, God is infinite. So to think we can contain him in a book is madness. But we can experience him and have a greater and a deeper experience of God as we pursue him. Now John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. So it's really, really important that we learn how to hear God's voice. And I know them and they follow me. Because when we hear God's voice in relationship, we enter into he knows us and we know him. And then we want to follow him. We want to go where he's going. We want to do what he's doing. We want to continue with that experience. Hearing God's voice through the Word of God is the beginning of engaging in a real living relationship, having conversations with God. rather than praying and hoping God hears somewhere, from heaven somewhere, actually God is in us and he's with us, and therefore we can communicate with him and have a conversation. But we have to practice and learn to discern his thoughts and how he speaks to us from how other things do. And so we'll learn our own thoughts, we'll learn what his thoughts sound like, we'll learn how he speaks to us, maybe in visions or dreams and in different ways. But bottom line is God wants us to have a real living relationship where we can hear him and talk to him and have a conversation anytime. Because he's in us and with us at all times. Now Joshua 1:8, sort of the foundational scripture for meditating in the word. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So in meditation, speaking it is important. But you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. So it's not a theoretical exercise. It leads us into action and relationship and a real lifestyle. And if we do according to everything's written in it, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success. Now, in that prosperousness or prosperity, I guess the real word is, you can make up your own words. Why not? Alice does it all the time. In that prosperity, that means we're blessed to accomplish not what we want, but God's destiny for us. God has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for our lives. When we surrender to that destiny and we follow that pathway in our own lives, then we will have success. It's when we step off that pathway and try and do things our own way and try and do it following the pathway of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, that is actually when things go wrong. If we keep on the pathway of the tree of life, that pathway which has come out of eternity and will lead us back into eternity, then we will have success guaranteed. Doesn't mean it will be easy, but we will have success if we keep on the path. Now, God wants our attention. He's always speaking. Are we always listening? We can relate to God in the busyness of life, and we should be able to engage God whatever we're doing, wherever we are. But it's also important that we give him quality time. A relationship where two ships pass in the night does not bode well. You need quality time and communication for any relationship to be good. And it's the same with God. God wants us to have quality time with him where we actually learn to see and to hear and to engage him. So when we meditate, what we're really doing is repeatedly bringing the things that God has said, either in his written word or said to us personally, into the forefront of our thinking and focusing on them. That's what it is. Psalm 103:2, David saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now he told his soul to do what he wanted it to do. And our spirit should be the part of us that's in charge, guiding, directing our soul to be obedient to where the Holy Spirit guides our spirit. And so we need to tell our soul what to do. And if our soul's in the way, which often it is, then we need to see that blockages and stumbling blocks in our soul removed. Because this is what David said, "O my soul, forget none of his benefits." So remember what he said. Remember what he's done. Remember who he is. And that really is the focus of everything we're doing in meditation. It's not emptying our mind and hoping something fills it. It's fixing our attention and thinking about God, thinking about Jesus and the things that he said and done. And those things then are entrance points and doorways into personal experience with him. So Psalm 63:6, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate you in the night watches." Now, we're going to hopefully learn how to engage God in the night watches, but the key is to begin to think and remember when we're alone and in times of quietness. Psalm 77:11, "I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I remember your wonders of old." Remember the testimonies of God in our own lives and in the lives of others. Those testimonies, again, can become access points to future relationship and engagement. Psalm 143:5, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on the works of your hands." So there's some of the things we can actually think about and focus. You think, well, what do I do when I meditate? Well, we think about God. That's the the key part of it. So what we repeat gets stored in our heart, in our subconscious mind, and what's in our subconscious mind triggers our conscious mind to act. So Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that is a key to our lives. How do we think about ourselves? How do we think about who we are, our identity, our purpose? If we don't think the way God thinks about us, then we're missing out on so much. And Psalm 139 says, how vast are the sum of the thoughts I have about you. God has more thoughts about us for us to discover. They were always his thoughts in eternity in his heart that birthed our spirit before we were conceived. Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So it's important that what we say comes out of what's in our heart so that we can produce life. Now, we've got to make sure what's in our heart is good. Because if we bring negative things out of our heart, then negative things can form around our lives. So it's a process of transformation and bringing our heart into purity and refinement. Now, I want to just briefly look at seven steps to meditation. All of them have to be God-centered. First one, cleanse and prepare my heart. Lord, give me a teachable attitude. Lord, I surrender my senses to you. Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Lord, I present my abilities to reason and imagine to you, to fill and flow through. Lord, I focus my attention on what you show me. Now, we'll go through those in a little bit more detail. Lord, cleanse me by your blood. We're looking to receive revelation from God. That's the whole heart of meditating. Therefore, we need to prepare. If we have unconfessed sin in our lives, the enemy will use that to block us. We'll feel guilty and condemned, and that will block us receiving from God. That's why Adam and Eve ran in the bushes and hid and tried to cover up. They should have run to God and received forgiveness. So when we come before God, just make sure that our hearts are clean. And that means making sure that the things that God has already spoken to us that we're doing. If we're not obedient to previous revelation, why would he give us any more? So let's check up and make sure the things he has spoken to us, we're living. Because that's the key for him to reveal more and more things in our lives. Lord, grant me a teachable attitude. Revelation is given to those who maintain an attitude of humility. Now, humility is not I'm a worm and nobody. Humility is I'm a son of God and I have access in relationship to the Son of God and to the Father and to the Holy Spirit in relationship. I just need to realize that's not about me, it's all about him. And the focus of our whole lives is about bringing glory to him. So revelation is not going to be given to the proud and arrogant who are going to use it for their own purposes. We have to bring glory to God. So keep an open, humble attitude, allowing God to bring the freedom to shed greater light on any ideas you currently hold and to alter them as he sees fit. Now that's really hard because we have a lot of religious tradition and ideas that have come through religion and tradition rather than through God. And so they're quite hard sometimes when God starts to challenge our mindsets and our belief systems to change to something new. But if we're going to engage God and realize that we don't know it all, and most of what we know actually probably isn't right anyway, then we need to allow God to change and transform how we think and how we act. Therefore, we have to be open for that transformation and be teachable continually. That means what we believe today, we may not believe next week or the week after, because we're on a journey of progressive revelation. God is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So he leads us on a way to discover the reality or the truth so that we can bring life into it and live it. So it's important that we allow God the right to change our thinking, to renew our minds with his truth. If we go into meditating with a fixed idea that I know everything anyway, then it's not much point. We have to go in with it with a revelation that God is going to reveal something new to us. Lord, I will not use my faculties myself. Now, what does that mean? Jesus, in John 5:19, 20, 30, he only did what he saw the Father doing. He only did what the Father initiated. He only said what the Father showed him. It wasn't, I'm going to do what I want. And so when we engage God in this way, we must allow him to use us as he sees fit. Therefore, it's not that, well, I have a mind, I'm going to try and use it to figure stuff out. It's actually, I have a mind, but I'm going to present my mind to God so he can fill it with anointed reasoning. Because it says in Isaiah, let's reason together. Let's come together and agree. Not like, I don't really believe that, so I'm going to try and find out a way to disprove that that's true. Which is what the whole evangelical movement has taught people to do. And it's stopped progress in us coming into the revelation of what God is doing. So we need to give our mind and allow God to fill our mind so that he can use it. If you use your mind yourself to try and figure things out, it really is a dead work. Jesus said the flesh profits nothing, and the mind is part of the flesh. So if we use our mind in an intellectual way to try and figure things out logically, then we'll miss out on so much. I'm not saying throw your mind out the window. I use my mind a lot, but I use it in relationship. I use it surrendered to God so that God can speak to me through it. I'm not trying to use my scientific background to try and figure things out. Although God speaks to me often in scientific principles and terms, because he uses who I am and speaks to me in that way. Now, some of you can be more creative and he'll speak to you in creative ways. God uses who you are uniquely and how you're wired and your redemptive gift. He uses all that to communicate with us. That's why it's all personal. That's why we're introducing principles here to help people engage and find the way that God speaks to them. Some people are more visual, some people are more auditory, some people are more touchy-feely, and they get more senses and impressions. And they're all good. You know, and we can learn to get better at all of them. But find out what God is, how God speaks to you primarily, and build on that and then grow. Lord, I pray the eyes of my heart might be enlightened. When you read the Word of God, slow down. It's not a race. How many times have you read a chapter and then you can't even remember what you've read? You know, I've done it, fallen asleep reading the Word of God. And it's like, well, it's a good place to fall asleep, I guess. But actually, when I've woken up, I couldn't remember a thing. You know, because actually I was just reading it. Slow down and allow the Spirit to bring revelation out of it so you can stop, mull it over, mull over the text of it, engage your heart, and constantly ask God to give you that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Because that's what we want to do when we're engaging in the Word of God. Find revelation knowledge of him and experience. Lord, I present the abilities to reason and imagine to you to fill and flow through by your Spirit. Meditation involves presenting our faculties to God for him to use and to fill. That includes left brain reasoning capacities as well as right brain visual capacities. He can use both, but we have to surrender them for him to use. John 7:37-39 talks about rivers of living water flowing from us. We need to look for the river of God, i.e. the Holy Spirit's flow, to guide both and fill our both brain hemispheres. It's a flow that flows out of the Spirit to touch our soul in those areas. And then God can release reasoning and thoughts with him, and also dreams and visions. 2 Kings 3:15. Now bring me a minstrel. This was a prophet, and he was about to prophesy for the king. And he said, bring me a minstrel. And when the minstrel played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. Sometimes music is good to just focus you. Now, sometimes people don't need that. I don't use music in my own personal time with God much now because I've tuned my senses to sort of use it. But we, in the exercises we do here, we use music a lot just to take the focus off ourselves and to give us a background that can open up our spirit. God uses music to open our spirit. And anointed music is really good to open up our hearts so that we can engage him. It can assist in lots of things we do. So while we're speaking, while we're thinking, music in the background is really good. While we're journaling, music is really good. Lord, show me the solution to the problem I'm facing. Now, we need to focus our attention. And when we focus our attention, we concentrate on something, and it's much easier to focus on it. Now, an example of focus is the difference between a ray of sunshine hitting a piece of paper, which sort of may cause it to be warm, and if it's on a piece of a newspaper or something, it can actually change the makeup of the paper because they go different colors because of sunlight touching and releasing things from it. But when you magnify a ray of light and it hits a piece of paper, what happens? That energy focus actually causes the paper to burst into flames. So when we focus what we're thinking about, it can actually help us to see things much clearly, more clearly. And so when we're focused and hungry for something, then we can begin to engage in it. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So if you want something in your relationship with God, focus on it. If it's intimacy, focus on it. If it's to hear his voice, focus on it. Whatever it is, actually focus, and that attention and that demonstration of hunger will enable you to see things and engage in things that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. And there are lots of things that we have gone through previously and not seen that will all of a sudden open up and we'll get revelation. I mean, how many times have we read the Word of God and read it and didn't get any revelation from it, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just brings a revelation to the surface and it just hits us? Now, we've read it lots of times. So when we focus, it enables us to see. Thank you, Lord, for what you've shown me. An attitude of thanksgiving is really important. The Holy Spirit gives us revelation to bless us, so that we can be a blessing. And it's always good, again, to know that it's about God's glory. The focus of the revelation is about bringing glory to him. But having an attitude of thanks opens up our heart for greater experience of God. If we take our experiences for granted, God doesn't like it. He's precious. And he wants us to value our time with him. So it's important to have that attitude. Now, some of the things that help in meditation, physical calm. We know the blood pumps to the right hemisphere of the brain better when we're calm. We know when we close our eyes, our brain waves slow down and help us tune into the spirit easier. When you relax, it's much easier to engage God. Attention, focusing our attention, letting be. Don't try and figure it all out. Receptivity, being open to receive. Often this comes as a spontaneous flow, and that's what we're looking to pick up. Sometimes that spontaneous flow will go right by us and we will forget to actually attach to it. God is speaking to us all the time. How much do we actually hear what he's saying? Because we've not learned to tune in to the frequency. You know, there's all sorts of radio frequencies in this room. You can tune into them if you have the right tuner and you tune into the right frequency, and that frequency will enable you to receive the program. We just need to know what wavelength God's on and how that wavelength we can tune into it to be a receiver of the programs that God is revealing to us, if you like. Now, that just means we have to practice until we discern the wavelengths and how we can actually do that. And one of the key things is to journal. And that's really what we're going to just finish off with today, how to journal. Because journaling is a very biblical process. Habakkuk 2:1. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision. So when we focus and when God starts to speak, it's important that we record the vision. Record what he's saying. Write it down. So as we recognize God's voice as spontaneous thoughts in our mind, if you just let those thoughts go, sometimes it's hard to remember what he said. But when you write them down, it reinforces. You know, when I was studying for exams, I would just keep writing things out. That was my way of learning. I wrote them out. If I wrote something out 3 times, I could remember it, at least for the duration of the exam. Well, I wanted to pass the exams. That's basically, I learned how to do it for me, you know, and I realized that if I could read things for 3 times, I would remember them. So the trouble is, the longer you go and the more higher education you get, the files get thicker and thicker. So it's like, oh no, I'm going to read that. But by focusing on that, we learn to discern. quieten yourself. If you're so busy and your mind is so full of other things, it's going to be difficult to hear. Look for vision. Look into what God is trying to show you. Write down the flow of your thoughts. So there are four keys here. We're going to look at three of them briefly. We're going to look at key three next week because it's going to be about opening the eyes of your heart. So first one, God's voice in your heart often sounds like a flow of spontaneous thoughts. Habakkuk knew the sound of God speaking. Elijah described it as a small, still voice. So we need to listen to that inner voice. It's not like something that you're hearing from the outside, but it's like a voice on the inside. And usually God's voice is spontaneous thoughts, visions, pictures, feelings, impressions, knowings. You know, and all those things can grow and develop. Key two, become still so that you can sense God's flow of thoughts and emotions within you. Habakkuk said, I will stand on my guard post. He knew that to hear God's quiet inner spontaneous thoughts, he had to go to a quiet place. So you need to find a quiet place in your life that may not be just absolutely silent, but a place that you can actually find that place that you call your secret place with God, that you can engage in. Now that may mean that you go and you have a favourite chair or you have a favourite place. You know, some of you, it may be your bed. Although it's not always a good idea to lie in your bed and meditate, because you tend to fall back to sleep. But find a place that is special for you that you know you can engage in. Because once you learn to hear in the silence, it's easier to hear in the hecticness of life as well. It's so hard to try and tune into God when everything's hectic. Obviously, Psalm 46:10 encourages us to be still. Now, in that inner knowing, our spirits can experience something when we quiet in our flesh. And this is the important thing. Because I know when I first started to learn to meditate, every thought in my head just kept going round and round and round. Because basically my flesh really didn't want to hear God because it knew God was going to tell it to change. So, and the enemy didn't want me to hear God either, so he can interject a few thoughts now and again. So we have to learn how to quieten our flesh. If we're not still, generally what we'll be picking up is our own thoughts. Now usually your own thoughts will be things you already know. And that's a good idea when you sort of pick it up. It's like if you know things already, then it's usually you thinking about them. But when God's thoughts come in, it's usually things you don't know or reinforcements of things in a stronger way. If thoughts come of things that you've forgotten or things that you need to do or your shopping list or next football score or whatever you're thinking about, because all sorts of things will come into your mind, get a tactic which works so you can dismiss those thoughts till later. Because sometimes you need to think about things, make decisions about some things, but actually write them down. I used to just write down the thing and then dismiss it. And I was training myself not to be disrupted or interfered with by the thoughts that came from an outside source. If thoughts of guilt or unworthiness come, which is a big tactic of the enemy, you have to have a solution to that. So if something comes and actually it's something you haven't repented of, then repent. Because the enemy can remind us of things that we've done that we've forgotten. If you haven't done that, just repent. Receive forgiveness and again, see yourself being clothed in a robe of righteousness. Because that's how God sees you. You need to see yourself the way God sees you. Clothed with the robes of righteousness, spotless before God. So actually use that. When something comes, use it. No, I have been forgiven. I am cleansed. Get lost. Because basically, you need to rebuke the enemy. Jesus rebuked the enemy and he fled from him. So take captive the thoughts and deal with them. Don't just let them flow into your mind. Matthew 11:28. If there are things that are going on in your life which make it difficult to hear God, it's important that you know how to get rid of those things. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden and are overburdened, and I will cause you rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. So if you've got a lot of stuff going on, you need to know how to handle those things and to hand them over to God. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting the whole of your cares all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. God is really interested in us. He's waiting for us to hand over things to him rather than carrying the load and the burdens of trying to work them out ourselves. And do this as part of your daily routine with God in relationship. Hand over the stuff that you're carrying. It's like, don't carry the weight of responsibility that he says that if you're yoked to me, because it goes on into this passage of being yoked to him, which means he carries the bigger load. So it's something that we need to learn to do, is just to pass over and pass on the burdens and the things we're carrying so that they don't get in the way and interfere. So to receive the pure word of God, we need to focus on the source that comes from. And if that focus is Jesus, then the flow will come from Jesus. If we're thinking about God, the flow will come from God. If we're fixing our gaze on something else, then it will flow out of that desire. So fix the desires of our heart on God and things will flow out of it. So when we do that, and when we fix our eyes on Jesus, then we can begin to share our heart with him. And I would encourage you to do that at the beginning of when you're engaging in relationship. Share your heart on what you're feeling and what's going on in your life. Then you can just let that go. If you're carrying it in your mind, it will just hinder you from what you're doing. What you'll find is that spontaneous thoughts will begin to flow from God to you, and you will be actually having a conversation with God. And that's what God wants. He wants a two-way conversation. A lot of times our prayers are one way. We ask him for a lot of things and a shopping list of things that we would like doing in our lives. Well, actually, he wants a conversation where we can discuss things. And some of the things that I would ask him, I wouldn't even bother asking, because actually now I know that that's not the things he wants to talk to me about. He's more interested in me than what I can do for him, or all the things I want to do in my life. He really wants that sort of level of relationship. Now, key for journaling, write out your questions and God's answers. And you practice this. And what it does, it brings a freedom to hearing the voice of God, because you don't have to try and think about what you're doing. You just allow your spirit to communicate. So practice. Be quiet, fix your eyes on God, hand everything over to him, and then ask him something. And then write down what he says. Now, I have pages and pages and pages of journals. Every day I write down the things he says. Now, I have to do that because he says a lot. Then I can go back over them. And every month I have a journal. You know, I have a note which transcribes my handwriting into text so that I have text files, then I can print them out and I can read them. And I go through them regularly. God told Habakkuk to record the vision, and that wasn't just an isolated command. You read in the Psalms, you read in Prophets, in Revelation, God told people to record and write down the things that he said. And I believe God's things that he says to us are really important, so we don't want to miss them or take them lightly. Journaling is a two-way thing, and it's a catalyst for discerning those inner thoughts, and it will help us to go. And when you practiced it, you can write for long periods of time. And I've written sometimes for an hour. Now, there are some keys in doing this which are really important. Everything we receive from God, you need to test, okay? But testing involves doubt. Is this God? Isn't this God? Doubt will block communication. So don't test while you're trying to receive. Just receive. Just write it down without thinking about it. Now, there are a whole lot of things like this that have been perverted in the New Age movement, but doesn't mean that they aren't right. It just means they've been used for the wrong reason. So there's things, something called automatic handwriting, where you just write. Now, that is wrong if it's coming from a wrong source. If it's a flow of what God is speaking to you, it's absolutely acceptable because it's what the Word of God says. So don't try and test things at the time. Receive in faith, knowing that when the flow's ended, you can go back and you can examine what he said. And then you can make sure it lines up with what we know the Word of God says, what we know God's character is. And if he's put in there, oh, go down the road and steal something from your next door neighbour, you know it's not likely to come from him. You know, so we have a good plumb line to help us in some of these things. But if it says, oh, go down the road, knock on the door and tell the person I love them, ooh, that might be a different one, mightn't it? You know, so we've got to be open for whatever God says. Now, journaling is a biblical concept. Don't let doubt hinder you. Doubt is always a thing that will try and hinder us. I've just made all that up. And that thought will come into your mind. Don't allow that to hinder you. Use the journaling process to help God encourage you to listen so that you are, as a child, hearing his voice. Hebrews 4:10, the one who is entered into his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. See, we need to do this not as striving or struggling, but in relationship. So relax. Now, when you do it, and basically I want to encourage you to practice this in your own time, sit back comfortably, take out your pen and paper, smile. God's smiling at you, so it's going to be a good day. And have that assumption. It's going to be a good day. It's like, why go into the day thinking it's going to be a bad one? It's a good day. Turn your attention towards Jesus. Maybe focus in praise and adoration to begin with. Seek his face. Write down a question that you want to talk to him about. Become still and see what he says. Then don't doubt, just write it down. You will find that you've been having a conversation with God. And you can, while he's speaking, join in the conversation. Because if you're unsure of something, stop and say, can you explain that better? What are you actually trying to say to me? It's a two-way conversation with God. Knowing the Bible is a really important foundation. But of course, they didn't have a Bible in the early church, did they? It's like they had the Holy Spirit who would bring them revelation. So don't get so caught up with the written word that you miss the living spoken word every day. It's important that if you're going to use journaling to get God's thoughts, that you have someone you can talk it over with, to test it with them, to see what their thoughts are with it. So have someone that you trust, that you can share things with. So if God tells you to do something major in your life when you've been journaling, don't just go and do it immediately without actually submitting it to those that you trust. Say, what do you think about this? Will you seek God with me over this? Because then there's wisdom in counseling, counselors, many counselors. So be prepared to share what God's saying. You know, sometimes when we're particularly emotionally charged about something, sometimes we can also come out of our own emotional desires. So we need to be balanced and have a way of doing that. Okay. Well, we're going to spend 5-10 minutes practicing this. Okay. If you've got a piece of paper or a journal with you, then you can use that. If you haven't, don't worry. Just practice hearing and getting the thoughts. Sometimes a picture can help you engage. So we're going to think about Psalm 23. And so lying down in green pastures is a good one to enter into. So if you don't know what a green pasture looks like in lying down, then use the picture on the screen, because a natural thing can help us into a spiritual experience. When Jesus comes and meets with us, sometimes, well, I don't know what Jesus looks like. Well, that's what he looked like to me. And that was a picture by an American girl who went into heaven and she painted what she saw. That's exactly how Jesus appeared to me. And there's a film out and a book called Heaven is Real, with a little boy who basically was very ill and went into heaven and saw all sorts of amazing things. And his dad was a pastor in America and didn't really believe him, but he saw so many different things, saw his grandfather, saw different things, that it almost became, wow, this is just impossible to be of an accident. And one day he saw this picture on his dad's computer screen and said, that's him. You know, so sometimes it can help just to have a focus. All right. So what I encourage you to do, we'll just build on some of the things we've already done. Just close your eyes. Just begin to pray in tongues out loud or within your own spirit. And after you've done that for a little while, what I want you to do then is just begin to think about Psalm 23, lying down in a green pasture with Jesus. And as you just begin to think about that, then you can just begin to ask him a question and just listen to his thoughts. But we'll just start just praying in tongues for a minute or so. Just get our spirit tuned in and then begin to fix our thoughts on Jesus. Now just begin to fix your thoughts on Jesus. Just relax and just picture yourself lying down in a green pasture. Just lie down with that green pasture. Just begin to engage that green pasture. And as you're just comfortable with the presence of God around you, just talk to him. Maybe ask him a question like, what do you feel about me? And then just listen.
So as you're just sensing Jesus speak to you, you may sense just words or feelings. You may just feel loved, safe, secure, peaceful. You may just hear him as words in your mind. Jesus can also come to us as well as we going to engage with him. So I want you just to think of Jesus now just coming to you and just kneeling in front of you where you are right now in the realm of the spirit around you. I want you just in your mind just to offload all your burdens. Cast all your cares, your anxieties, any fears, any doubt or unbelief that you're struggling with in your life right now, just hand them over to him. Just cast them all onto him. Just share your heart with him right now, some of the things that's going on in your life, as he's kneeling in front of you, as he's looking at you. Just sense his love for you, his care for you, his concern for you. Just begin to cast all your burdens onto him. Just sense Jesus lifting the weight of the burdens off your shoulders. Just feel lighter as he carries the load. Just let him pour his love into your heart. Let him minister healing into your heart. Just allow him to minister to you right now. Just feel his love. Feel his embrace. And again, just begin to have a conversation with him. So just prepare your hearts now just to re-engage in this realm. But just bring the realities of the experiences and the things that you've encountered. If you have paper and you want to journal those things he said, that's great. But what I'd encourage you to do in your daily times with God, just practice engaging in real physical relationship in the realm of the spirit with him. You may not find it easy the first time you do it or the second time, but persevere, keep practicing. And it gets easier as you learn to tune in to his thoughts, as you learn to tune in to how he communicates with you, that knowing in your spirit will grow, as you just learn to practice and keep practicing.